Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week.
So we're doing the gospel according to Garth. If you know this song, you know that we're about to do church this morning, so get ready. And I'm going to issue a challenge. The choir is going to be backing up my friend Bobby Hart. So if you guys sway, I'll give you each 20 bucks. We're just waiting for a disaster to happen. Gospel according to Garth, we shall be free.
This ain't coming from no prophet. Just an ordinary man. When I close my eyes, I see the way this world shall be when we all walk hand in hand. Of bread, when the last man dies, for his words that he said, will that shelter over all his tears, we shall be free.
Y'all didn't sway at all. How can you sing that and not sway? Now, I did notice the sopranos, but they could have just kind of been off balance or something, so I give y'all 50 cents, Snickers bar. Hey, would y'all thank our musicians? We have a talented group of musicians here at church. This series would not be possible without the insanely gifted people that we have. And I love that song, We Shall Be Free. And as Frederick Buechner says, he says, shall is the verb of hope. That things kind of are what they are right now. But something shall change. God will restore all things, and things shall be different one day. Shall is the verb of hope. So even from the time I was a kid, I loved collecting quotes. I love powerful, punchy quotes. I love quotes that condense a large truth down into a few words. And so, in fact, I still have in a chest at home, I still have a little green book that whenever I came across a good quote, I would write it down. So sometimes those quotes are well-crafted. G.K. Chesterton is always good for a well-crafted quote. He said this, adventure is just an inconvenience rightly understood. And adventure is an inconvenience rightly understood. Sometimes those quotes are not as well-crafted, but they still carry a whole lot of truth. Dallas Willard once said that the church ought to do seminars on how to bless and not curse other people. Do you agree with that? Church ought to do seminars. That I think if every Christian on the planet just worked to bless other people, we would not lack the opportunity of sharing our faith. There was a church in Ohio 2 weeks ago. They installed a brand new air conditioner unit. Thieves came. They stole the whole thing. So the church put on their outdoor marquee a message to the criminals. Keep the AC because it's hot where you're going. Church may need to do a seminar on how to bless and not curse the world around them. Sometimes a punchy quote comes from a very unlikely source. Mother Goose, one foot up, one foot down, that's the way to London town. My old friend Calvin Miller, when I was overwhelmed with too much, he said that line to me and I thought, you have lost your mind. You're quoting Mother Goose to me. But it was that idea that if you have a big job to do, you just take the next step. And how many times over the years have I quoted that to my kids? One foot up. One foot down. That's the way to London town. If you're overwhelmed today, hear the truth of Mother Goose, right? And Jesus is always good for a quote. He said this. In fact, he sums up all the scripture in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. As Jacques Maritain said, it is dangerous to be a half-Christian. Jesus says, here's what it looks like to be a whole Christian, not a half-Christian. You can't say you love God and hate other people, and you can't love people and be indifferent to God. We need to be all in. It's dangerous to be a half Christian. Well, I want to take you to one more really powerful, punchy quote. And this one was uttered 750 years before Jesus. And it was in a day that's very much like our own. There was a growing affluence, there was growing prosperity, but there was a growing disparity between the haves and the have-nots. There was a sense in culture that we have finally outgrown God, we are independent from God, but yet at the same time there was cultural decay. In other words, it's a day very much like our own. And I like this punchy quote because biblical scholars say that this man sums up better than anyone else, except for Jesus, the entire message of the Scripture. And if we want to live lives that we shall be free, this is how we should live. Very familiar words from Micah 6. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And if we do this, we shall be free. So I want to savor these words for a few minutes this morning. He has shown you. Essentially, there are two ways that we can live our lives. It really comes down to this. It's very simple. That we can choose what's right or wrong for ourselves, or we can allow God to inform us as to what is right and wrong. We can live by our reactions or by God's revelation. We can live by our instinct or God's instruction. And what the Scripture makes clear is He has shown us, He has made clear through His revelation, the best way to live. And here's my favorite word that I attach to God's commands. Because we often think of God's laws as burdensome, but I think God's laws make us free. I want you to think about it in these terms. Our kids growing up, they've really been into baseball over the years. We're finally out of the baseball. You know, all the kids are grown, almost gone. Talk about we shall be free. I've got all this time and don't have to spend at the baseball park anymore. But I do love baseball. And so our kids both started out in T-ball, you know, in baseball. And by the way, Catholics are right. There is a purgatory. It's called a T-ball doubleheader. Okay. That's purgatory. And actually, my favorite phase was kid pitch. That was fun because you get to see how many kids got beamed in the course of a game, you know, and all the tears. That was a lot of fun. It's like target practice for kids, right? But then the really gratifying time came when our son was on the varsity squad at his school and was catcher. And so that's when the games got really exciting. But baseball at any level, there's a rule that holds that there's a third baseline and a first baseline. And in order to hit something that's fair, you've got to hit it between those two lines. And somebody may object, well, you're cramping my style. You're ruining the game by putting rules on it. No, it's actually making the game. Because could you imagine somebody hitting a foul ball over the backstop and trotting around the bases like they just hit a home run? While some kid's slogging through the parking lot getting the ball? A game like that would quickly become unbearable without rules. But within those two lines, between the third base and the first base line, you can hit it anywhere you want to. Lay down a bunt, execute a hit and run, pound it over the fence. And by doing that, the game takes on a whole new level of enjoyment. So God gives us these rules, and He says, these are the bounds in which you should live your life. In fact, right at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, the prologue to the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. And I'm giving you these commands now so you'll know what it's like to be free. You know what? He has shown us how to live freely. And it's within the boundaries of His command. You say, well, some of His rules are oppressive and they're inconvenient. Yes, they are inconvenient sometimes. I'm not going to say they're oppressive. But some of God's rules are inconvenient. But don't you think that an adventure is an inconvenience, rightly understood? So He has shown you, man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you. So here are three characteristics. To act justly. Bottom line, the world is not fair, is it? Is it? The world is not fair. University of California, San Diego did a study in the 90s. They took people born over a 27-year time period. They kind of went back in time, took people with birth certificates over the course of 27 years, and they looked for those people whose initials were rather unfortunate. So they might have initials like RAT or DOG or BUM or ILL. What they noticed after tracing these people through their lives and comparing them with their death certificates, that people with unfortunate initials lived 5 years shorter than the average American. You know what? That's a pretty good illustration that sometimes life just deals us an unfortunate blow. Life isn't fair. Sometimes we're even born with some things that are challenges for us. So what do we as followers of Jesus do in a world that is unfair? Do we just look at people and say, well, stinks to be you? Nope. Here's Jesus' heart for people. Jesus had compassion on people. And as followers of Jesus, we should have that same compassion, and we should make it every opportunity, use every opportunity possible to act justly toward others. Now, here's why I'm going to break this down a little bit, because when I say act justly, I think there'll be a couple of different groups in here this morning. There are those of you that take on justice as a social cause. You're passionate about a cause. You're an activist by nature. And there are others in here today that you're not as public, you're not an activist, but on a personal level, every person you meet, you want to treat justly. By the way, that's really the application here in Micah 6:8, but it doesn't preclude those who are more activist. So whether you're an activist or a non-activist, let me say some things. If you're an activist, don't expect everyone to be like you. Don't expect everyone to join the cause. If you're a non-activist, don't expect everyone to be like you. There be some people that need to be more expressive to what they feel passionate about. If you're an activist, follow your calling. If you're a non-activist, follow your calling. If you're an activist, remember that being loving is just as important as being right. If you're a non-activist, remember that being loving sometimes means you stand up for what is right. So God has given us these different opportunities, our different personalities, but we are to act justly. Don't you think that churches ought to do seminars on how to bless and not curse other people? To act justly. To love mercy. I'm going to put that over here on the shelf for just a minute. I'll come back to that. I want to go to the phrase to walk humbly. This is my favorite phrase in this entire verse. First of all, I like the word to walk. I think if we are to be countercultural followers of Jesus, we need to learn to walk rather than run. Our culture teaches us how to run from one event, from one commitment, from one thing after another. And Jesus says, I want you to follow me. And in doing that, you must adjust your pace. Slow down. And we are to walk humbly. So I'm going to take exception with this translation, because this is the only time that this word for humble shows up in the scripture. I think a better translation is to walk skillfully. We are to walk skillfully through life. So we have a teaching team that meets every Tuesday. We go through the text. We talk about what all it means. And so I threw out this question. I said, what does it mean to walk skillfully in life? Let's put some texture to that. And we came up with two things. First of all, to live a life that is teachable. That we never get to the point in life where we think we've got all the answers. That we maintain this posture of teachability throughout our entire lives. So I have one kid right now who's struggling with too much going on in life, too much overcommitment. So I got alone with this child, just the two of us, went out for a meal. And I said, first of all, forget about time management. Time management is a fiction. You can't manage time. It just happens. It keeps rolling on, right? So quit worrying about managing time. Manage your priorities. And I said to my child, what's the first priority in your life right now? That child said, education. I said, you are wrong. I kind of want a fan right there, right? I said, your first priority is relationships, always. Your relationship with God, your relationship with your family, your relationship with your friends. I said, now what's your second priority? My child said, education. You're right. So that second priority and the third priority, those are going to shuffle all throughout your life, but that first one remains unchanged. And as I'm talking with my child, I'm thinking, how many times have I had to learn that lesson? Many times the hard way. in life. I'm still not there yet. I'm 49 years old, and I'm still learning how to keep relationships as the top priority. I'm still trying to adopt a teachable pattern in life. Also, to walk skillfully means that we live authentically. So I want you to look at your faith for just a minute. If you say you believe something that you're not willing to back up with your behavior, you don't really believe it. Let's just be that authentic. If there's something you say you believe that you're not backing up with your behavior, you don't really believe it. We can talk about generosity. I believe in generosity. But if you're not giving to others and sacrificing to God, do you really believe it? Say, my family is worth my undivided attention, but if you're not giving them that, do you really believe it? And to walk humbly means that we are teachable and we're always self-aware on, am I really following Jesus Christ? And that's a big, overwhelming thing to consider, but one foot up, one foot down. That's the way to London Town. You take the next step and you walk humbly before God. So here's where I want you to use your imagination. Look at this cross with me up here for just a moment. So on Micah 6, I want you to take these characteristics that we've talked about so far and lay them over the cross. He's shown you what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly. So I want you to imagine act justly as the horizontal beam of the cross, because that really is, it details how we are to relate to one another, okay, in compassion. And I want you to take those words to walk humbly and use that for the vertical beam of the cross, because that talks about how we are to relate to God and our relationship with Him. Before Him, we walk humbly. And then at the intersection of the two, that's where I'm going to put the phrase, to love mercy. Kind of ties the vertical and the horizontal beam together. To love mercy means this is how we do relationships. And the best way I can state it would be like this. Have you ever met somebody who's an it person? That they treat other people like an it. That when they go to the bank, the teller, they treat an ATM the better than what they're treating that teller. Or they go to eat at a restaurant and they treat a vending machine better than what they're treating the waiter or the waitress, the server that's there. Please nod if you understand what I'm talking about. Please point if you're sitting next to one of those people right now. Kind of point them out to me right now. Yeah, okay, right. We have to be very careful about treating anyone as an it, be it a person here or the person there. Sometimes we can treat God like an it, can't we? That we only go to God when we're in trouble or we've got an emergency or we need out of a tight fit. And Micah 6:8 says, don't do that. Treat one person as God, and that is God, and treat everyone else as made in the image of God. He has shown you what is good, and what is the Lord really looking for? Act justly, to walk humbly, and connecting it all to live merciful love with one another. So I'll show you a picture of an actor. Maybe you've seen this guy on a few shows. His name is Sean Bean. Sean Bean is 60 years old. He's been on some shows that you probably recognize. He's actually been in 21 different movies. And in each movie that he's been in, or each series that he's been in, 21 times, he's died prematurely 21 times. Okay. And so he's been typecast. He's kind of like the guy from Star Trek wearing the red shirt. And when you see the guy in the red shirt come out, you know, if a guy in a red shirt goes on an away mission, he's not coming back. All right. And so Sean Bean says that. He said, I've been typecast 21 times. I've died on the screen. I am not taking any more roles that requires me to die. Right. Bottom line, this guy is tired of dying. Are you tired of not living? I really want to just level with you here and say, how many of us are spending our lives just going from event to event, from day to day, from work project to work project, from season to season, and we think, I'll really live someday, someday out there. If you're not doing it now, you won't be doing it then. And what does it mean to really live? What does it really mean to say, we shall be free and live as free people? He's shown you what is good. And what does the Lord want for you? Here's what it means to be free. To act justly. to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. I think as followers of Jesus, we should affirm our faith every single day, that when we get up in the morning, we should say what you heard Aaron say here earlier: Jesus is Lord. My life belongs entirely to Him. It's at His service, at His pleasure. And I know in a room this size, there are some who maybe have never said that before. Can I just be dead level honest, and not because I'm a pastor, but because I've followed Jesus for nearly 40 years, and I've found this to be true, that true life is only found in Him. And if you're tired of not living, He is the source. He is the author. He is the perfecter of life. And in Him, we shall be free. Let's stand together and let's pray together. Jesus, as you put it, we are to love you, the Lord our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And as we've already heard, it's dangerous to be a half-Christian, to either discount you or to discount others, or to do both. So help us to live as full-in, free people. That God, you are our God, and other people made in your image are there for us to serve. You have shown us what is good. And what do you ask? That we would act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. So one foot up, one foot down. Where we have faith in you, would you help us to take the next step? Where we lack faith, would you help us to take that first step in confessing that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the freedom giver of our lives? It's in His name that we offer our prayer today. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.